Okay, you're back, and you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. So we're very happy to be joined today by Isabel. She is a teacher and union member who is based in the inner city region. She has been a teacher for 6 years and is the co-president of her school's sub-branch and is a member of Fight the Crisis, which is a group of rank-and-file AEU Victorian branch members committed to empowering other union members to use their collective power as workers to fight for educational, industrial and social justice. So, yeah, good morning, Isabel.
Good morning, Jacob. Thank you for having me on.
So maybe to kind of start off, Isabel, obviously just a bit of background for our listeners is and we'll go a bit into this later in the next in a later question, but you know, basically one of the big things in the news is that following the kind of really kind of incredible kind of teacher strike that we saw earlier, I think it was in March.
Yeah.
The media has been sort of going on about how there's been a deal kind of reached between the union members and the state government. But of course, we'll unpack why that's not necessarily that is quite kind of misleading. But maybe to kind of start off, maybe just for a bit of background, can you tell us about the current kind of working conditions and wages for teachers and education support staff and why they are completely inadequate?
Absolutely. I think the first thing is that it is simply not possible at the moment for us to do our work in our paid hours. Teachers are doing roughly 12 hours of unpaid overtime every single week. This came out of a recent Monash University study. And when a large percentage of the workforce are on far less than the median wage, that's pretty intolerable. We're a sector of some of the lowest paid and most undervalued workers. And so we see things like many of our education support staff can't afford to move out of share houses. Most of us can't afford to live in or near the suburbs we're working in. So people are travelling hours to the school that they work in. There are so many examples of excessive workload, but one that I think gives a really clear picture of just how unsustainable the workload is we'll see teachers and ES in schools spending hours and hours collecting evidence and attending meetings to qualify our vulnerable students for disability and inclusion funding. And sometimes you might spend more than 10 hours getting this evidence for one student. But our schools are in such a state of crisis that money, so you might successfully get, say, $45,000 funding to support a student who needs one-on-one classroom support, so an education support staff member sitting with them in the classroom, and then you successfully get the funding, you do all of that work, and the school will then have to spend it elsewhere because there are deficits in every facet of our education system. And so we are working to the bone and we're not even seeing our students get the supports that they're entitled to. One of the big issues in this agreement was pushing for paid lunch breaks for education support staff. At the moment, we see ES working through their lunch breaks to either complete admin work or to meet student need, and they're not even getting paid for that 30-minute lunch break each day. So, yeah, I mean, education support staff, teachers, they're already burnt out. Lots of us take on a second job because of the way the economy is at the moment. I work as a tutor outside of hours, as do many of my colleagues. So we're just, I think we're dropping like flies. People are quitting their job in the middle of school term. We're seeing pre-service or graduate teachers who are maybe working in education support during their degree having that first-hand experience of conditions and then dropping out of their degree before they graduate because they just see how incredibly unsustainable it is.
Thanks, Isabella, and good morning. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. So, you know, we've heard about this offer. The AU officials have said it's a good offer. Can you say what you think, why maybe it's not such a good offer?
Yeah, sure. So I think the optics of the offer are really good, right? The numbers sound like really big numbers. But we need to remember that in Victoria, we are starting from way behind. We need a roughly 25% pay increase just to make up for the lost wages from our last agreement, which was so inadequate. So we are so far behind other states, and that impact is obviously compounding in lost wages across the years. But the reality is when you break those numbers down, if we look at education support staff who are already some of the lowest paid in our sector, they're only seeing a 21% increase to their base salary spread out across 4 years. That's not going to keep up with inflation. So their real wages at the end of the agreement, they will have less buying power than they do now. And then the rest of that percentage number, they're talking about, you know, 28%, 32%, is made up of allowances or one-off payments, which you can't build upon in the next agreement because they're not in the base salary. So they have to be redefended and renegotiated all over again. And it has real-world impact. If you want to go and apply for a credit card, the bank says we need 3 months of payslips, and those bonuses do not show up on every month of your payslip. So it has real-world impacts on what people are actually able to do with their money. For teachers, some people will have seen politicians out in the media saying, you know, we so support our teachers, they're going to become some of the best paid in the country, and we're often compared to New South Wales. But in this agreement, it's just not true. It will be reasonable and it will be close or similar to New South Wales for those who are at the top of the pay scale and those who are right at the bottom, the graduate teachers. But for everyone in the middle eight or so pay bands, which is the majority of teaching staff, it's not a good deal. If I use myself as an example, I'm going into my seventh year of teaching next year. So in New South Wales, that would put me at the top of the pay scale. It only takes 7 years to reach the top of the pay scale there for a classroom teacher. But for me, I'll be about $15,000 per year behind my New South Wales counterpart. And I'll still be 4 years away from reaching the Victorian top of the pay scale. So
Can I just follow up? So, yes. Isabel, there's a lot of talk about wages, but one of the most important aspects is the working conditions.
Absolutely.
And like previous EBA agreements with the government, there's probably very little, if anything, in there, is there? Can you sort of talk about, because as you said, teachers are dropping like flies or leaving the profession because they can't cope with the working conditions. Is there anything in there that's substantial about working conditions?
Not really, no. The two main workload concerns that we want to see addressed that haven't been at this stage are face-to-face teaching hours and class sizes. So the hours that you are in the classroom with students directly impacts how much unpaid overtime you do, because there is admin work that needs to be done outside of the classroom, whether that's marking, planning lessons, responding to emails, parent phone calls, all that stuff. There's not enough time put aside to do those tasks, and so people end up doing them in unpaid overtime. So we need to see a reduction in that face-to-face teaching to reduce that workload. And the second thing is class sizes. We have huge class sizes at the moment, up to 30 in some classes, and with a much broader range of student need, compounded by budget cuts, delayed funding, where we don't have programs we used to have, like literacy and numeracy support, those students who need that one-to-one support are now just in the mainstream classroom. And so how can a teacher realistically cater to 25-plus kids with highly varied learning needs? So we need those smaller classes in order to reduce that workload burden, and we haven't seen any of that in the in-principle agreement.
Yeah, so that brings us to the kind of next question. I mean, one of the things as well is I was actually talking to some of my family members about this kind of issue, you know, actually a lot of them, you know, a lot of them are just judging it based on, you know, what the kind of mainstream sort of media is sort of saying. So basically there is a kind of common perception that this is actually a good offer. So that brings into the kind of next kind of question, which is, what is the position to fight the crisis and other rank and file teachers on the offer? And why are you campaigning for a no vote? Because at the end of the day, This, despite what the mainstream media has sort of implied, and the Labor politicians especially, this is not actually necessarily a done deal. It actually still has to be voted on by the members.
Absolutely. So the deal has only been endorsed by the AEU Branch Council, which is about 150-ish representatives, but the union membership, which is 60,000 plus strong, we have the power to vote this up or down. Our position, which I think is implied in our name, is that we are in crisis and we have to fix it. So parents are seeing the impact of what this is doing in schools. Education workers are seeing it. The profession is so unattractive at the moment that we've got a chronic teacher shortage. So, you know, when I have friends who have rocked up to their local primary school to drop their kids off and been turned away at the gate because there are not enough staff on site to meet duty of care requirements. We're one of the richest countries in the world. I do not understand how we have let it get to this point. So this agreement for us is a bit of a watershed moment. We know the dire state of education and we know that it can't continue as is. So the teacher paying conditions and the ES paying conditions, they reflect how our successive governments view education work. We've already seen them strip funding. We're now seeing them try to pass this subpar deal. And there seems to be plenty of money that can be found to spend on other things. We spend a lot of money putting youth in prison, yet we don't seem to have that money to spend on educating those same young people. So we are campaigning for a no vote because we know this can't go on. We have to push for change, and we know that teachers and ES are ready to fight. Our union membership has skyrocketed over the last 6 to 12 months. We saw over 35,000 people in the streets a few months ago, as you mentioned. We're angry and we are at a point of desperation. So we have so much left in the tank for this fight, and we know that we need to vote no to ensure that we push to see the improvement to paying conditions that we need. We've got to stop staff leaving the profession and we've got to entice new people to join.
So did all of Branch Council vote for this, or were there some dissidents, I'll call them, and also I would have been one of those dissidents, and what would Fight the Crisis see as an adequate offer, and you know, in terms of addressing these important issues for educators?
Yeah. So in answer to that first question, there absolutely were no voters in the room. I don't have the exact numbers, but it was not a unanimously passed yes vote to endorse the in-principle agreement. In terms of what a adequate deal would look like, we need a significant reduction in face-to-face teaching hours. We need paid lunch breaks for education support staff. The reality is that they are responsible and fulfilling duty of care requirements during lunch, just like teachers are. We need a 35% pay increase for all staff across a 3-year agreement, which will catch us up and then keep us roughly 1% to 2% above inflation. And we need a cap size on classes of 20 students. We can reduce that slowly over the life of the agreement, but we need to know that that is the direction we're going in. These are not extravagant claims. They are necessary repairs to a broken system that has been left to be held up by the hard work of mostly, it's a female-dominated industry, mostly women, education support staff and teachers who are, you know, we care about our students, we care about the experience that they have, but it is not reasonable to continue under the conditions that we have at the moment. It's just not sustainable, and we see that by how many are leaving the profession.
Thanks for that, Isabel. And I guess we're probably reaching to kind of the end of the interview now. Do you have any kind of like final comments you'd kind of like to end on? And also maybe you can also tell us, just in case any kind of rank and file teachers are listening to this program, how can people get involved in supporting the work of Fight the Crisis and actually help campaign for a no vote if they agree with the perspective that you're putting forward?
Absolutely. Thank you. I urge every AEU member listening to really dig into the agreement, think about what we need to change here, and remember that we have nothing to lose by voting no, but so much to gain. There is a myth that a no vote is going to send us back to square one of negotiations. But we can actually look to the recent deal that the nurses did in Victoria, where they voted no in overwhelming majority to their first agreement offer, to the shock of their union leadership. And it resulted in them getting a much better deal only 37 days later. So vote no, convince every member that you speak to do the same. And if you're interested in supporting or following Fight the Crisis, you can find us on Instagram and follow along there. We share lots of resources that you can use within your sub-branches. We have some incredible maths teachers who are breaking down the specifics of the numbers in the deal. And we have lots of branch counsellors who are part of Fight the Crisis who were in the room on the voting day last Friday and can speak to the specifics of how that went down as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Isabel. I think this is, this has definitely been very informative. And, yeah, all the solidarity to you and your fellow teachers.
Yep. Bye,
Isabel. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Bye.